Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Lee.
Howdy there, Tara.
The coup rolls on. You want to see what the dual justice system looks like? I can tell you what the 25% of people who donated to the Tea Party and were punitively audited by the IRS. That's a judge's finding in the payment to them in redress from the IRS. They didn't get to the other 75s. They just hadn't had time to audit them for donating to the wrong group. And not just audit them about their donation, audit their businesses, their personal finances, turn their lives upside down, require U-Haul's worth of information, tens of thousands of dollars in attorney's fees to the IRS. That's the kind of destruction you see in the dual justice system. Well, we're getting a better look at what it looks like in the dual justice system, where laws apply based on your politics. This is absolutely an outrage this morning. Let me take you back for a minute and tell you kind of what went on here. You know, Paul Manafort is currently in solitary confinement. And as of this morning, we know he is a political prisoner. That's what he is. There is no other way to describe it once you know the simple fact of what is going on today. And let me back up for a minute. Paul Manafort, who worked briefly with Trump, he was a business associate. He and Tony Podesta, a guy by the name of Tony Podesta, lobbied on behalf of the Ukraine, right? And they both made the mistake of not registering as a lobbyist, violating federal FARA rules. That's a crime. Can't do that. But there's a problem here. Paul Manafort and Tony Podesta, who is a major fundraiser for Hillary Clinton, and his brother, John Podesta, who did all of the fundraising, he was the major fundraiser for Hillary's campaign. All three of them lobbied on behalf of the Ukraine. All three of them refused to register, or didn't register, didn't bother, whatever, violating FARA rules. All three of them. Okay. So Manafort is not only doing the same thing as Tony Podesta, Hillary Clinton fundraiser, major Hillary Clinton fundraiser, he's doing it with Tony Podesta. They worked together to do this lobbying that was illegal because they didn't lobby. Okay. Paul Manafort, only because he worked with Trump, he picked the wrong political team. You don't want to do that. You go to prison in America. Paul Manafort is sitting in solitary confinement right now. Tony Podesta, who did the exact same thing as Paul Manafort, was given immunity by Robert Mueller so he can testify against Paul Manafort. He is not only not in solitary confinement, he has been released from the same crime Manafort committed by the immunity so that he can testify against and put in prison, possibly for the rest of his life, Paul Manafort, for the same crime. The only difference is Tony Podesta was smart enough to do fundraising and help out Hillary Clinton, and Paul Manafort picked the wrong side. And Robert Mueller is such a snake, such a rat, that he got the filing to grant the immunity. He got it sealed. He got it sealed. So we couldn't know what he was doing because he knows what he's doing is profoundly wrong and sick and twisted. So according to the motion, which Tucker Carlson broke this last night, on the show. It's not supposed to be out. It's supposed to be secret, so you don't know. According to the motion, Tony Podesta was refusing to give testimony to Mueller and invoking his Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination. He did the same thing Manafort did because he partnered with Manafort to do it. And so what does Mueller do? Rewards him with immunity. Rewards him with immunity. There is no difference between Tony Podesta and Paul Manafort other than that Paul Manafort supported the wrong team. That's it. Mueller knows it. He tried to hide it. Fox got it yesterday. So you know, look at where we are right now. Tony Podesta is the sixth Clinton fundraiser, campaign person, staffer of Clinton to be granted immunity for their crimes, while Paul Manafort rots in prison for the same crime that he committed in partnership with Tony Podesta. I can't even wrap my mind around this. I can't process it. All I know is that a country cannot continue to function this way. It will break. We have to have a fair justice system, or we are no different from a third world authoritarian regime, and that's what we're looking at right now. So he joins the list of folks committed to Clinton crimes or those who committed crimes for Clinton who have been given immunity. Paul Combetta is number one, a computer specialist who deleted Hillary Clinton's emails when they were under subpoena by Congress. Subpoena by Congress doesn't matter unless you're a Republican, I suppose, and then you have to turn it over. Otherwise, you don't. He got immunity, which was really helpful for him, for his crimes. Cheryl Mills, remember her? Immunity deal. Former chief of staff and attorney for Hillary Clinton from the Justice Department during the year-long FBI investigation into Clinton's server. She had all the dirt on the server. She was given immunity, so she never would, she would not have to testify. John Bentel, director of State Department's Office of Information Resources, given immunity. Heather Samuelson was given immunity. These are all people in the Clinton circle who knew about the emails, had them on their personal devices or deleted them. Brian Pagliano, Clinton's former IT aide, who set up her email server. Remember, I talked about him earlier this week. Set up the email server. This is a professional IT guy. He comes from a professional IT company. What they do is set up servers for businesses. Yet somehow Mr. Pagliano left the server completely unprotected. We now know why. We learned this week from the Strzok hearings, so that Hillary could send all 30,000 emails to a as yet unnamed foreign entity with classified data in them, a complete violation of the law. Every one of those emails is a felony. We can find out more about it, but Brian Pagliano, Clinton's former IT aide, was given what? Say it with me, immunity. Why? Because if somebody went after him, we might be able to get at Hillary's crimes. So it's what they do now, and Robert Mueller's doing this. If somebody around Clinton committed crimes, they or knows about Clinton's crime, they have to be given immunity for not testifying. Lee, in this country, the way it used to work is you were given immunity to testify against somebody. Mm-hmm. Now you're given immunity to shut you up so Hillary doesn't have to go to jail.
Yep.
This is Banana Republic stuff.
Yes, beyond it.
I mean, and when you look at Manafort is not just in a prison cell. He is in solitary confinement right now on the premise that, well, he tried to influence a witness, so we're going to have to put him in there. You know what happens when you put Paul Manafort in solitary confinement? He not only can't influence witnesses, he can't speak in his own defense. He can't give interviews. He can't talk to people. He can't talk about what an outrage this is, as he's an attorney. He and his attorney were doing before. So that's why I suspect he's really in solitary confinement. Locked away. I mean, this is Chinese government stuff. This is what happens to oligarchs in Russia who step out of line. They get locked up in solitary confinement so they can't defend themselves. And the real criminals are let off. It happens every time. We're watching this with Robert Mueller. We can't function this way as a country. We can't function anymore like this. We can't. It won't work long term. And if they get away with it, I am terrified of what the next election and the one after this is going to look like.
Well, it's funny that we've got the Democrats that are in control of so many things still within the bureaucracy, and they accuse Trump of colluding with Russia, but they're governing like Russia.
They are. No, they are. That's the thing. And you know what? If this scares me, too, on this level. If Mueller is capable of this, what is he capable of doing to Trump?
Mm-hmm.
What is he capable of doing to Trump? Tucker Carlson, amazing reporting by him last night, nails this. Let me let you hear his version of this.
He's also a close friend and a major fundraiser for Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Talking about Tony Podesta.
Now, the Podesta group, we reported, worked with Paul Manafort to lobby on behalf of Ukrainian interests in the United States without properly registering at the time under the Foreign Agent Registration Act, which is called FARA. Manafort got in big trouble for that. He's now being held in solitary confinement. He's looking at a life sentence behind bars. And Tony Podesta? Whatever happened to him? Well, tonight we can report exclusively based on two separate sources we spoke to today that Tony Podesta has been offered immunity by Robert Mueller to testify against Paul Manafort.
It's unbelievable.
In other words, for a near identical crime, Bill and Hillary's friend could skate and emerge completely unscathed, while Paul Manafort may rot in jail. Only one of them made the mistake of chairing Donald Trump's presidential campaign. Maybe the most amazing is the pretext under which all of this is happening. The Farrell Law was passed back in 1938 in order to prevent the Nazi government from lobbying in the U.S. Over a 50-year period, from 1966 to 2015, a total of only seven people were criminally charged under FARA. Many more could have been charged. Washington is brimming with unregistered foreign agents and has been for decades. And yet only seven people were charged over 50 years. And yet in recent months, three people have been charged under FARA. What do they have in common? You guessed it. Some connection to Donald Trump.
Yep. There we go. By the way, I should just note that for the record that John Podesta, who is the chairman of Hillary's campaign, her chief fundraiser, also failed to register, sat on the board of a Kremlin financially backed company, took millions of dollars in compensation, declined to reveal that as is required by law when he went to work for Obama, and is currently a free man.
And I believe he also was the chief of staff for the Bill Clinton administration for a period of time as
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yes, he was too. So he's a free man, and Manafort is in solitary confinement.
Well, he's an FOC, friend of Clinton's.
Yes, friend of Clinton's, which erases all crimes.
Yep.
And here's a good one for a Friday morning at 6:22. What is the meaning of life? Well, that's a deep one, right? Yep. Well, if you interesting study here, I'd love to know from you what you think this means. If you struggled, Lee sent this to me, and this is fascinating. If you struggle to come up with an answer to the age-old conundrum, what is the meaning of life? You can blame your left-leaning political ideology. Wait, what? New research claims conservatives are more likely to have an established sense of their life purpose than liberals. And because of it, they're far more satisfied with their lives. They're happier and they deal with adversity better. Well, we see that every day in the news, right? We're not the ones out there giving people who disagree with us a beatdown. According to the University of California study, which analyzed a series of surveys across 16 countries, so it's one of these big metadata studies, those with liberal beliefs are likely to, do you know liberals like this? I do. Are more likely to be in a perpetual state of searching for meaning in their lives than their right-wing counterparts. Very interesting. Why do you think that is? Finding meaning in life is related to the sense of feeling that things are the way they should be, and that there is a sense of order. If life feels chaotic, this is one of the co-authors of the study, if life feels chaotic, then that would likely dampen your sense that life is meaningful, would it not? Why is this happening to me? Why am I having a bad day? Why am I having a bad week? What happened? Participants were asked to rate their political beliefs on a spectrum, ranging from extremely conservative to extremely liberal, and then were asked to respond to various statements questioning the extent to which they felt their lives had purpose, blah, 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 blah. They took that into account and these other studies' findings over the years. The study's authors even accounted for religious beliefs when analyzing the responses, and still found strong links between those with conservative ideologies having a stronger sense of purpose compared to liberals. Interesting. So the study author said, you know, it doesn't mean that every conservative finds a lot of meaning in their life and every liberal is depressed, he said. But saying that these are factors that influence a person's feelings toward whether their life has meaning. But I tell you what. You look at the entire philosophy that we now call conservatism, it's been called a lot of things. What is it about? Individual liberty. Your life has meaning. Each life has meaning. Each life is precious because there has never been a life like it before and never will be again. Everything grounded in the individual. The individual favored over the collective. And you only value the collective, the big picture. It's like Chinese, right? If you don't think individual lives have meaning, and if you don't think your individual life has much meaning, then you certainly can't see that in other individual lives, can you? This is, you know what, this is why, this is, I'm going to go deep dive psychological on you at 6:25 in the morning. This is why. You saw the screaming match yesterday between Judge Jeanine and Whoopi Goldberg on the View? Man, Judge Jeanine whooped her. And Whoopi Goldberg's going on and on about, it's not fair to say that these immigrant Mexicans are rapists and murderers. They can't see them that way because they can't see the individual value of the lives of their victims. They can only see the collective of Democrat voters getting bigger thanks to, you know, the addition of new illegal immigrants. They can't see the individual lives damaged. And even if individual lives are damaged, the good of society is so much bigger in their view, the collective, whatever benefits them, the big group, that they can't even see the suffering of the individual. They can't see it. They can't see, they can't feel for, they won't even recognize the four women that we know of so far who were victims of the illegal immigrant serial rapist in San Francisco, who was a Lyft driver. Probably more women out there. They can't see it. They don't put great value in their individual lives, and so they can't see it in written large. It's fascinating. Love to know what you think drives it. Why do people who tend to be conservative tend to be more satisfied and feel their lives have more meaning? What do you think? I'd love to know what you think about this. And some of it comes from religion. And where did the idea of the extreme value of the individual come from? That's the Bible. Got to have free will. Individuals must have free will unimpeded by man in order to have a full relationship with God. That's where that idea came from. Did you think the founding fathers made it up? They didn't. Those are ancient ideas. They were radical at the time of the Bible. One of our priests gave a great lecture on this one day, talking about your individual life has more meaning than a flock of sparrows. That was a radical idea for biblical times. It hadn't always been that way in human history. So why do we think our lives have individual meaning? Does your life have individual meaning? You know, I had a woman call the show one time. It's been about, I don't know, maybe 9 months to a year ago now. She was talking about her friends, and they're all struggling to find the meaning in their lives. And she said, you know, we're talking about, I don't know, millennials or something. I don't know. And she said, you know, it seemed like with this generation, there was a lot of searching for the meaning in life. And I said to her, that's easy. I'll do that. I do that for you in 30 seconds. Here, tell your friends this. The meaning in life, your meaning in life, your whole purpose in life, the only meaning in life is to live long enough to have children, raise them well, teach them to love, send them on so they will have children. And you pass along the spark that is life. That's it. That's all there is. That's all you get. That's all you have. It's really simple. Don't believe me? Look at nature. What is nature? A survival to live long enough to procreate and pass on the spark and the gift that is life. That's all it is. That's all you get. Everything in your life that has any value is in the people that love you and that you love them, particularly your family members. That comes first. That is your job. That is why you live. That is why you learn. That's why you develop. So that you can come to the point where you raise your children, you love your spouse, you do it together as a family, and you pass on that beautiful spark that is life. That is what the meaning of life is. There is nothing else. It's not about you. Never is. Just about the passing on and how well you do it. That's all you get. Now think about it. Name me five major titans of industry from the 1800s. Name me one. I can think of one. They left nothing, and they amassed fortunes. See what I mean? What do they have of any meaning left in the world if they were fortunate enough their genes were carried on in their offspring? That's all you get. That's all it is. It's so simple. Love those around you as you would be loved. Treat those as you would treat them. Send on, pass on life. It's easy. It ain't about you. And once you accept that it's not about you, you're free. You're free. You are. It's very, very simple. You know when I realized this? I was doing research on Ancestry, and I looked back. I found from somebody else on Ancestry a picture of my fifth generation back great-grandmother. I was in awe to look at her face. I'd never seen it, and I didn't know her name. That's how forgotten you will be. There's no meaning in your life. There's nothing special about you. The only thing you get to do that has any meaning, no matter how successful you are, is raise your children well and send them out into the world. Love your family, love those around you, and help them to do the same. That's it. That's the only place you're going to find joy, happiness, and satisfaction. It's all there is. It's real simple. And once you accept that and you get it, you develop a passion for it, you're free. You are. You're free when you live for others. When you live for yourself, you're all messed up. And that's what they do. That's the liberal mindset. It's narcissistic. It's about me. You never be happy that way. You won't. Texter writes, Tara, that last bit was great. Life is grand. Another texter writes about Manafort, the dual justice system. If Manafort is convicted, Trump should pardon him immediately. Then Sessions and Rosenstein should be fired and marched out of the DOJ, both charged under RICO laws. Then a new attorney general should be picked from outside of Washington and an independent counsel named to clean up this mess. Texter writes, folks who are searching for the meaning of life need to search out a litter of puppies. Get yourself a dog. Oh, boy. Texter writes, Tara, I think it should be obvious to all of us now that the Mueller investigation is primarily a legal smokescreen, which is effectively blocking Trump's administration from launching any type of investigation into Hillary and her cronies. Yes, it is. The deep state, that's why, because they got control of Jeff Sessions, right? You got control of Jeff Sessions. You know, as long as Jeff Sessions there, nothing's going to happen to Hillary. And so they can keep Jeff Sessions there by having these high-ranking members of Congress threaten Trump that, you know, his administration's going to grind to a halt if he fires, Sessions. It's a mess. The deep state is planning on continuing this investigation through Trump's entire first term to legally handcuff Trump from directing the Department of Justice from doing anything to help him. Yep, that's it. This is disgusting. Now, the texter writes about the liberals. They are mostly godless, and that's why there is no meaning in their life. Makes you very unhappy, doesn't it? Texter writes, any future hope of the radio.com app having a pause, rewind, fast forward function like TuneIn did, can't listen to the show live, only now missing most of the show, sad. All right, two things there. Number one, podcast. Text the word podcast to 71307. You get the podcast that way. You can go forward, backward, however you need to do it. And you get the podcast is up every afternoon if you can't listen live. And the other one is that we are apparently a beta market for radio.com. I've learned that the New York market of Entercom is still, Entercom's New York market is still on the TuneIn app. So this is a very early version of TuneIn, of radio.com. We are not on TuneIn anymore. So my hope is that it will get better. I can only tell you that I did not come up with this, and that they are working the kinks in this system out on you. And I am sorry that you have been chosen, but we're all doing our best with this. And again, I apologize. Texter writes, I've come to the conclusion Jeff Sessions is a plant of the deep state all along. By the way, John Solomon over at The Hill sounding the alarm. Mainstream media reporter who has gone rogue. I do not know why he's being allowed to write this stuff at The Hill. That's a liberal publication, generally thought to be part of the mainstream media. I screamed about this last week when he wrote about this. I said, this is the biggest breaking bombshell story has broken and everybody missed it. And Solomon realized that because he wrote it. And so now he's writing about it again. If you read nothing else today about Russia, Russia, Russia. Heck, if you read nothing else this month about Russia, 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 there is only one thing you need to understand, and it's in this piece. I've got it up on the Facebook page. One FBI text message in the Russia probe that should alarm every American. What is it? And I pointed this out last week. This was a bombshell. Remember this. Comey went to Congress when he was the head of the FBI. And he said, yeah, we launched that investigation July of 2016. You know, we found out, we begin to get the hints of Russian collusion, right? What'd you base that on, sir? They won't let us know. That's what the subpoenas are about. Why'd you base it? What'd you launch the investigation? You have to have a premise besides a made up dossier from a political campaign to launch, to apply for a FISA warrant, to spy, to do all those things. If they did not, this is a political operation. This is a political research operation. Well, in the texts back and forth between the lovebirds, Lisa Page and Peter Strzok of the FBI, there is an extraordinary text. And when I saw it, I about fell off my chair because I knew what it meant. The text was transmitted on May 19th, 2017. There's no big there. Strzok texted. Keep in mind that date, May 19th, 2017. Okay. The official investigation was launched when? July of 2016. This is almost a year later. There's no big there. That means there's no big there when they launched the investigation. Here's what John Solomon writes. The date of the text has long intrigued investigators. It is 2 days after Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein named Special Counsel Robert Mueller to oversee an investigation into the alleged collusion between Trump and Russia. The FBI's top counter-espionage investigators knew at the time there was nothing. Who do they report to? Who do they answer to? Rosenstein. FBI is the investigative arm of the DOJ. Yet they launched it anyway, knowing full well there was no there there. What does that make this? A political persecution, a witch hunt. This would be like if some people over at the Greenville police did not like me. And they decided, like, what would look really good to take her down? I know, a bank robbery. All right, we'll launch an investigation into Tara Servatius for robbing a bank. Well, the media was, what is your evidence? Well, we have to keep that under lock and key. Okay, we're going to file a FOIA to see what your evidence against her is. We want to know so we can, you know, print it, embarrass her some more. No, we can't turn it over. Because you have no evidence. You just pick a crime, launch an investigation, tar somebody with it. It's what they did to Trump. And this text message proves it. Since the text was turned over to Congress, John Solomon writes at The Hill, investigators wondered whether it referred to the evidence against the Trump campaign. This month, they finally got their chance to ask. Strzok declined to say, but Lisa Page, during the closed-door interview with lawmakers, confirmed that the message referred to the quality of the Russia case. There's no there there. Texted in May 19, 2017 by the people in charge of the investigation. Yet 2 days later, Mueller is appointed. They all know there's nothing there. This would be like launching a very public, again, bank robbery investigation into me when everybody on the investigative team knows I didn't do it. You can't do that. There's a violation of folks' Fourth Amendment rights when you then go and get spy capabilities to spy on them knowing there's nothing there. The admission is deeply consequential, John Solomon writes. It means Rosenstein unleashed the most awesome powers of a special counsel to investigate an allegation that the key FBI officials driving the investigation for 10 months beforehand did not think was there. There's nothing. He concludes with this. So the FBI agents who helped drive the Russia collusion narrative, as well as Rosenstein's decision to appoint Mueller, apparently knew all along that the evidence was going to lead to nothing. And yet they proceeded because they thought there was still a possibility of impeachment. Remember, Peter Strzok told us that himself in his text. This is sickening. John Solomon concludes with this. How concerned you are by this conduct is almost certainly affected by your love or hatred for Trump. But put yourself for a second in the hot seat of an investigation by the same FBI cast of characters. You are under investigation for a crime the agents don't think occurred, but the investigation still advances because the desired outcome is to get you fired from your job or impeached, in their own words. Is that an FBI you can live with? It's all right there, folks. For anybody who wants to see it, there's no there, there, there never was. Texter writes, so a prominent talk show host tells her guest, blank you, and then said, get the blank out of here, and that's okay. The View is wholly unwatchable trash. That's pretty good assessment of it. I don't know if you saw Judge Dineen take them out on The View. And you know what's fascinating watching this? She got kicked off the set. They literally kicked her off the set of The View, which was fascinating to watch. And you know why they kicked her off the set? You can see it's very transparent when you watch the video. They couldn't argue with her. They couldn't argue with her. She's got an actual set of irrefutable facts. When it comes to everything from, you know, what the FISA warrant was based on, to the fact that, you know, illegal aliens have been busted, you know, for rape and murder in the last 2 weeks. Whoopi Goldberg say, you can't say that about them. That's not true. But she points it out to them. They can't argue with her. And so they're left to scream, cry, gnash their teeth, cuss her out, and throw her off the set. Watching this was unbelievable. What happened to Judge Dineen? It's just, we're going to get into it coming up in the next hour. Because it's a real good microcosm of what's going on in the country. But first, I want to start your weekend off. I want to start your Friday off with some good news. I don't usually play a whole segment like this from Fox. It's part of a segment. But this is just chock full of economic news. And you need to hear this because it runs counter to a lot of what is being said in the media. Take a listen.
The proof is in the numbers. The Federal Reserve chair firing back at Democrats' ominous fears of a trade war with everybody.
Robust job gains, rising after-tax income, and optimism among households have lifted consumer spending in recent months. It is difficult to predict the ultimate outcome of current discussions over trade policy. Overall, we see the risk of the economy unexpectedly weakening as roughly balanced with the possibility of the economy growing faster than we currently anticipate.
Stuart Varney's host of Varney & Company, Fox Business Network. One of his top stories today, because you have a lot of talk about trade, but so far there's no fear revealed in those numbers.
Well, let me translate what the Fed chair just said. The translation is, the economy is strengthening in the face of trade trouble. Let me translate that. America is negotiating trade deals with a strong economy at our back. Now, the Federal Reserve did say, look, these tariffs which have been imposed have raised some prices in some areas, but that's not interfered with the growth of the economy. If you look at their report, it shows that 11 out of 12 districts in America, which cover the whole country, 11 out of 12 show moderate or strong growth. Now, the Fed is usually restrained in the words it's used. So when you say strong growth, that is strong growth indeed. Only one area around St. Louis, that shows slight growth. So across the country, you've got growth despite some prices rising from tariffs. And by the way, 1 week from tomorrow, we're going to report 4% growth for this economy. Wow. Best rate in many, many years, and double the rate in the first quarter.
Isn't this the time that when we can have major trade discussions because our economy is booming and doing so well, and when we can't afford to raise prices?
Well, we've got a strong economy at our back as we go forward and negotiate trade deals with other regions and other countries. On July the 25th, the Europeans come to America. We are told that maybe they're coming with a trade deal in mind, maybe some lowering of tariffs by us and by them, maybe. But that's what's coming down the pike. We are negotiating these trade deals, and we're negotiating, I think, from a position of strength.
You wouldn't be surprised if just before the midterms, the president announces we've reached deal.
Yeah, he ends with, we've reached a deal with China and Europe. And Stuart Varney goes on to say, no, we're right on track to do that. So keep your head up. Don't let them scare you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.